की जाए। अनंत कोटि वैष्णवृंद की जाय। इस्कान विभिधि संस्थापकाचार्य शिल प्रभुपाद की जाय। नामाचार्य शिल हरिदास ठाकुर की जाय। प्रेम से गहो श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवासादि गौर भक्त वृंद की जाय। श्री श्री राधा कृष्ण गो गोपीनाथ श्याम कुंद राधा कुंड गिरि गोवर्धन की जाय। श्री वृंदावन धाम की जाय। श्री मायापुर नवदीप धाम की जाय। गंगा माया जमुना माया की जाय। श्रीमारी तुलसी देवी की जाय। श्रीमारी भक्ति देवी की जाय। श्रील प्रभुपाद की जाय। ग्रंथराज श्रीमद भागवतम की जाय। सामवेद भक्त वृंद की जाय। ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज। ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज। ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज। ऑल ग्लोरीज टू श्रील प्रभुपाद। Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 1, entitled The Advent of Lord Krishna, Introduction. Text number 43. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Jyotir yataivo daka parti veshvahada. Jyotir yato. Jyotir yataivo daka parti veshvadaha. Samira vegan hanugatang. Vibhavyate evam svamaya rachiteshva sopamang evam svamaya rachiteshva sopamang Guneshu raga nugato vimuyati. Guneshu raga nugato vimuyati. Jyotir yataivo daka parti veshvada. Samira vega nugatam vibhavyate evam samaya rachiteshva sopuman guneshu raga nugato vimuyati Jyotir yataivo daka parti veshvada. Samira vega nugatam vibhavyate. Evam svamaya rachiteshva sopamang. Guneshu raga nugato vimuyati. Yatir yataivo daka parti vishvada. Samira vegana nugatam pivavyate. Gneshuraga nugato vimuyati. Jyotir Yathaiva Dakaparti Vishvada Samira Veganugatam Vibhavyate Evam Samaya Rachitesva Sopamam Gunesha Raganugato Vimuyati Jyotir Yathaiva Dakaparti Vishvada Samira Vegana Nugatam Vibhavyate Evam Swamaya Rachitesva Sopamam Kunesha Raga Nugato Vimuyati Jyotir Yathaiva Dakaparti Vishvata Evam Samaya Rachitesha
Ladies,
Jyotir Yathaiva Dakaparti Vishvada Samira Vegana Nugatam Vibhavyate Svayam Svayamaya Rachitesva Sopama Gunesha Raga Nugato Vimuyate Jyotir Yathaiva Dakaparti Vishvada Samira Veganugatam Bhavyate Evam Samaya Rachitesva Sopumam Guneshu Raganugato Vimuyate Jyotir Yathaiva Dakaparti Vishvada Samira Vegana Nugatam Vibhavyate Evam Samaya Rachitesva Sopumam Gunesh Raganugato Vimuyate Jyoti.
The luminaries in the sky, such as the sun, the moon and the stars,
yatha,
as,
eva,
indeed,
adaka,
in water,
partiveshu,
or in other liquids like oil,
adaha,
directly,
samira vega anugatam,
being forced by the movements of the wind.
Vibhavyate,
appeared in different shapes.
Evam,
in this way.
Swamaya rachiteshu,
in the situation created by one's mental concoctions.
Aso,
the living entity.
Puman,
person.
Guneshu,
in the material world,
manifested by the
modes of nature.
Raga anugataha,
according to his attachment.
Vimuyati,
becomes bewildered by identification. Translation. When the luminaries in the sky, such as the moon, the sun, and the stars, are reflected in liquids like oil or water, they appear to be of different shapes, sometimes round, sometimes long, and so on, because of the movements of the wind. Similarly, when the living entity, the soul, is absorbed in materialistic thoughts, he accepts various manifestations as his own identity because of ignorance. In other words, one is bewildered by mental concoctions because of agitation from the material modes of nature. So this purport of Srila Prabhupada is a very long purport, 1, 2, 3 pages. So we're all going to have to pay attention, right? Get your focus. Purport. This verse gives a very good example by which to understand the different positions of the eternal spirit soul in the material world and how the soul takes on different bodies. Dehantara prapti. The moon is stationary and is one. But when it is reflected in water or oil, it appears to take different shapes because of the movements of the wind. Similarly, the soul is the eternal servant of Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But when put into the material modes of nature, it takes different bodies, sometimes as a demigod, sometimes as a man, a dog, a tree, and so on. By the influence of Maya, the illusory potency of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the living entity thinks that he is this person, that person, American, Indian, cat, dog, tree, or whatever. This is called Maya. When one is freed from this bewilderment and understands that the soul does not belong to any shape of this material world, one is situated on the spiritual platform, Brahma-Bhuta. This realization is sometimes explained as nirakar, or formlessness. This formlessness, however, does not mean that the soul has no form. The soul has form, but the external agitating form he has acquired because of material contamination is false. Similarly, God is also described as nirakar, which means that God has no material form, but is Sat-Chit Ananda Vigraha. The living entity is part and parcel of the Supreme Sat-Chit Ananda Vigraha, but his material forms are temporary or illusory. Both the living entity and the Supreme Lord have original spiritual forms, Sat-Chit Ananda Vigraha. But the Lord, the Supreme, does not change his form. The Lord appears as he is, whereas the living entity appears because of material nature, forces him to accept different forms. When the living entity receives these different forms, he identifies with them and not with his original spiritual form. As soon as the living entity returns to his original spiritual form and understanding, he immediately surrenders to the Supreme Form, the Personality of Godhead. This is explained in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 7, text number 19. Bahunam jamanamante jnanavamam prapadyante.
When the living entity, after many, many births in different forms, returns to his original form of Krishna consciousness, he immediately surrenders unto the lotus feet of the Supreme Form, Krishna. This is liberation. As the Lord says in the Bhagavad Gita, chapter 18, text number 54, Brahma-bhuta prasanta-atma na sochati na kanchati samasaveshu bhuteshu madbhaktim labhate param.
One who is thus transcendentally situated at once realizes the Supreme Brahman and becomes fully joyful. He never laments nor desires to have anything. He's equally disposed to every living entity. In that state, he attains pure devotional service unto me. Surrender unto the Supreme Form is the result of bhakti. This bhakti, or understanding of one's own position, is the complete liberation. As long as one is under an impersonal understanding of the Absolute Truth, he's not in pure knowledge, but must still struggle for pure knowledge. Klesho dikaritastesham avyatakshakta cetasam.
Although one may be spiritually advanced, if one is attached to the impersonal feature of the Absolute Truth, one must still work very hard, as indicated by the words klesho dikaritaraha, which means greater suffering. A devotee, however, easily attains his original position as a spiritual form and understands the Supreme Personality of Godhead in his original form. Krishna himself explains the forms of the living entities in the second chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, where he clearly says to Arjuna that he, Arjuna, and all other living entities who were previously in their original forms are separate individual identities. They are individuals in the past, they are now situated in individuality, and in the future they will all continue to maintain their individual forms. The only difference is that the conditioned living entity appears in various material forms, whereas Krishna appears in his original spiritual form. Unfortunately, those who are not advanced in spiritual knowledge think that Krishna, like one of them, and that his form is like their material forms. Avajanantimam mudha manusim tanum ashritam. Bhagavad Gita, chapter 9, text 11. Krishna is never puffed up by material knowledge and is therefore called achutya, whereas the living entities fall down and are agitated by material nature. This is the difference between the Supreme Lord and the living entities. In this connection, it is to be noted that Vasudev, who was situated in a transcendental position, advised Kamsa not to commit further sinful activities. Kamsa, a representative of the demons, was always ready to kill Krishna, our God, whereas Vasudev represents a transcendentally situated person to whom Krishna is born. Vasudev, the son of Vasudev. Vasudev wanted his brother-in-law, Kamsa, to refrain from the sinful act of killing his sister, since the result of being agitated by material nature would be that Kamsa would have to accept a body in which to suffer again and again. Elsewhere in Srimad Bhagavatam, 5th canto, 5th chapter, text 4, Rishabhdev also says, Nasadu manye yato atmano yam asan apikleshita ashadeha.
As long as the living entity is entangled in the fruitive activities of so-called happiness and distress, he will receive a particular type of body in which to endure the three kinds of suffering due to material nature. Tri tapa yantra naha. As an intelligent person, therefore, must free himself from the influence of the three modes of material nature and revise his original spiritual body by engaging in the service of the Supreme Person, Krishna. As long as one is materially attached, one must accept the process of birth, death, old age, and disease. One is therefore advised that an intelligent person, instead of being entangled in so-called good and bad fruitive activities, should engage his life in advancing in Krishna consciousness so that instead of accepting another material body, taktva deham puna janma nayati, he will return home back to Godhead. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Yananjana Chalakaya Chakshurun Militam Jena Tasmai Sri Gurave Mukam Kuroti Vacha Lampangum Langayate Girim Yat Kripa Taraham Bande Sri Gurun Dinataranam Paramananda Madhavam Sri Chaitanya Ishwaram. So, a little background of the storyline. Here we have Vasudev. You know, he's been married, just married, and he's taking his newly married bride back to his home. Right? And driving the chariot is the brother-in-law, right? What do you say, Sala? Sala, right? It's Sala. So, brother-in-law hears the Akashvani that the eighth son of Devaki will be your death, which is actually came from the demigods because they wanted to accelerate the appearance of Lord Krishna. Right? Well, Kamsa immediately takes hold of Devaki's hair and throws down the whip that he was controlling the horses with and draws his sword to kill her. Awkward situation, right? But Vasudev, he doesn't lose his head, right? He remains very cool. And he's advising Kamsa that you should think about what you're doing, right? In the same way, we see that Arjuna, on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, he was bewildered. He was crying. The Gandiva bowl dropped from his hand. Right? He was bewildered. And just as Krishna, Lord Krishna, gave instructions to Arjuna so that he would come to his real position, Vasudev is giving instructions to Kamsa. Of course, the difference is Kamsa is a demon, and demons can't hear good instructions, right? Very difficult for them to anything to go inside. But anyway, here he's explaining about the situation of the living entity that we're thinking that we're something that we're not, right? This is what it means. This is what Maya means. Something which is not. And that thing which is not is the identifications that we have assumed, right, to be ourselves. The example that Vasudev gives here to Kamsa is like the sun or the moon reflected in a pot of water or oil, right? That reflection takes on different shapes. The source of the reflection is one, but in the water or the oil, it takes on different shapes. And it becomes many more, many pots, many reflections, right? And due to the agitation of the wind, those reflections of the moon may be long, may be round, it may take different shapes from the actual original image, the moon. And he explains this is all due to the agitation of the modes of material nature. So what this means for the living entity is the actual identity of the living entity is one. Just like the image of the moon is one. Right? And that is, the identity is that the living entity is the eternal servant of Krishna. Right? This is all pretty elementary things. But, you know, it's not hackneyed and it's not old, because by the mentality of a devotee appreciates this more and more, because the devotee gets, you know, tremendous realization by hearing this. Right? Look at how Kamsa's mentality so quickly changed. You know, it's his sister's wedding, he's in a chariot, he's driving, right? He's taking his sister home, you know, the trumpets are playing, and there's so many other people that are cheering. And just like that, his mentality changes that he's going to kill his sister. This is the power of the mind over the living entity. Just see how much power there is, right? And we all have to appreciate that that same power has overcome us, right? Overcome us. So hearing this, that we're the eternal servant of Krishna, we're not this body, again and again is required. Of course, we have a great help in understanding it and realizing it, and that is through the chanting of the holy name, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Rama. By chanting the holy name, one acquires knowledge and understanding so that one can actually realize one's position as the eternal servant of Krishna. But in the conditioned state, one is thinking, I'm American, I'm Indian. A cat even, you know, is thinking it's a cat. And there's different kinds of cats, you know. You can be a lion, cat, or you can be a house cat, right? Right? And sometimes we think the lion in the jungle, boy, he's really got it made because he's the top cat. Nobody can challenge him. But that's not so. The lions in the jungle, they have a lot of problems. First of all, they have this desire to reproduce, so they need a female lion, right? And not just one, they like to have four, five, six female lions. It's called a pride, right? So they have to work and struggle to get their pride together, right? And there's always these challenges from other male lions in the pride, right? The males in the pride, they grow up, and when they get adolescent, when they become mature, then they're turned out, and they have to find their own pride. So you have these males, usually they hang around in twos, and they're wandering in the jungle looking to take over somebody else's pride, right? And when the lion becomes old, he can't defend his pride. Usually he gets killed by the other male lions. So it's not like being a lion in the jungle is a solution to all problems here. Difficulties are there, right? So we are in these and sometimes, Srila Prabhupada explains niraka, or formless, in relationship to the living entity. It doesn't mean that in our liberated stage we're without form. No. Form is there. The formlessness that is spoken of for the living entity is that the living entity is not the false forms that he assumes due to the agitation of the modes of nature. Right? We're nothing to do with these concocted forms that we identify with. They're not our real self. And nirakar, in relationship with the Supreme Lord, Srila Prabhupada explains, means that the Lord is not that the Lord is formless. The Lord has his transcendental form, but the Lord's form is never material. You see, the Mayavadis, they make the mistake that the Lord assumes a material form like the conditioned souls. All right? So this is avijananti mam mudha, Lord Krishna explains in the Bhagavad Gita. Fool, foolish persons. Right? So these impersonalist Mayavadis are foolish persons. Right? They don't understand that the Lord's form is never material. It's always spiritual. Right? That's why Lord Krishna, on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, right? He looked like 18, 19 years old. Right? But at that time, he had been on the planet for 125 years. And he had approximately about 1 million children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren, you know, 16,108 wives. They each had 10 sons. All of those 10 sons had 10 sons. So you can do the math. But yet he looked like a young man in the chariot instructing Arjuna. So nirakar means forms are spiritual. They're nothing to do with the material world. The Lord never assumes a material form. The Lord is always spiritual, and his form is spiritual. Sat-chit ananda vigraha. The living entities are also sat-chit ananda vigraha. But they have assumed a material form because their constitution is that they're tatastha. They can be attracted by the material, or they can be attracted by the spiritual. When they are fixed in their eternal identity as an eternal spirit soul, then they come, as Srila Prabhupada explains, to the platform of Brahma-Bhuta, right? Prasantatma. They become filled with their blissful self, right? They're not hankering after anything. They're not lamenting losing anything. They're simply happy serving the Lord.
So Prabhupada talks a little bit about bhakti. Generally, people think of liberation as some freedom from the distress, and that's actually a fact, right? They think liberation, mukti, means that no more suffering, no more problems, right? And that's true. But they have a false concept of mukti by thinking that mukti means a cessation of activities, that you'll no longer have any desires, right? You'll become desireless, right? But the very symptom of the living entity is that he has desires, the living entity. The Supreme Lord has desires, the living entity also, as being a minute particle of the Supreme Lord, also has desires. So it's a false notion that the living entity can ever be desireless. That's why the Mayavadis, who may raise up very high in their spiritual understanding, but they can't maintain it. You know, it's just like going up in an airplane. Prabhupada gives the example. You go up in the airplane, I mean, there may be a beautiful airline hostess, and she may be serving drinks and nice foodstuffs and asking, sir, can I get you a pillow? Are you comfortable? So no matter how much service there is, you're still up in a plane and you're waiting to get down. Have you ever noticed that? You know? As soon as the plane lands, everybody jumps up and are rushing to the door, right? They have to tell, no, keep your seatbelt on until the taxiing stops. Don't they say that, right? Keep your... But as soon as the plane lands, you hear all the bells click. Plane's not even at the gate yet. Right? They want to get out of there, right? So that's the nature of so-called, you know, Brahman realization. You may race very high up, but there's something more than that because of our nature. Our nature is to serve. Our nature is to be engaged in activities, right? Just imagine, in the conditioned state, we're so active. You know, people are starting factories and doing various activities to earn money. Always act to keep a diary, their time management. So every moment they're engaged, right? They plan their business, they plan their entertainment, they plan all these things. They're so active. And they're in the conditioned state. So how can we assume that in the liberated state they become inactive? Right? They just become a buzz with the oneness. Doesn't even make sense, does it? The nature of the living entity is to be active. But as long as he's, you know, you can have different kinds of activities. Monkeys are also very active. But they do all nonsense, right? All nonsense. Once the monkey got Prabhupada's shoe. So the servant, he was trying to get the shoe back, right? And he had saw before that Prabhupada, you know, he had said hut to the monkey, and the monkey ran away. So the servant, this was in Vrindavan, right, with the Lama. So the servant tried it. He went hut, and the monkey jumped at him, you know, with his teeth. And Prabhupada was watching this, you know, in an amused kind of way. So the activity of the living entity has to be regulated. Not like monkeys jumping. Right? That's to be regulated. And the Vedic literature gives us that Regulation, right? Regulation. So that, but that's not the end of it, simply regulation, but regulation so that one can come to the platform of rendering devotional service, right? To the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, the six Goswamis in Vrindavan studied all the Vedic literatures very scrutinizingly, right? And extracting from the Vedic literatures the essence for the living entity to take advantage of those instructions about how to obtain bhakti, or pure devotional service. So, the essence of this purport, and there's so many wonderful things here, is that the mind really needs to be controlled. I mean, Vasudeva is trying to convince Kamsa, look, if you kill your sister, it's just going to perpetuate, you're going to get another body, and you'll suffer like anything in that body. Right? So that instruction is good for us also. Okay? If we continue to do our, as they say in Hindi, our nakara, and not serve Krishna, we will continue to suffer. This instruction is not just for Kamsa, but it's for us. Right? All of the things that we imagine to be real are all temporary. They're all going to be finished with this body, whatever it is. Right? Whatever it is. Kamsa couldn't hear anything. Later on we're going to read that Vasudeva had to, he was very conscious, even though it was a very dangerous situation, dangerous for Devaki, but he was very conscious. He gave these instructions, but later on we'll see that he understood that, Kamsa's not hearing, he's not getting the message, so he changed his plan. But I'll leave that for later, what his plan was. But it suffice for us to know that we want to get out of the entanglement of fruitive activities and mental speculation so that we can come to the platform of pure devotional service, which is our natural, it's our natural constitutional position, just being rendering service to Krishna. We have, somehow or another come into this material world and we're conditioned by the modes of material nature. Yet the holy name is very powerful and it can purify our consciousness, purify our hearts so that we can understand our real identity as the eternal servants of Krishna, and that at the end of this life, we can go back home, back to Godhead. Hare Krishna. So this is, if there are any questions, anything in the purport that caught your fancy, you'd like to mention it, any comment, any question, now it's, the floor is open to you.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, thank you very much for the class. This self-realization, just by hearing, seems to be very difficult. Just like advertisement has been given of a soap or some shampoo, that okay, if you use this, then you will really become very happy. So, to just hear and get convinced in the mind that it's actually bogus, it's not actually really going to make me happy if I just use this. Unless we experience it, and then probably next time when we see the same advertisement, then probably the conviction is more that no, I have already used it. It's not the actual fact. So how to get this realization just by hearing? As students, is mentioned that there's a first class way to understand, just by hearing only. So that's why they say that experience is the best teacher, but what to do? Fools understand by that way only. So how to get more and more convinced that there is no such happiness there in the material world outside? It's just a mental concoction.
The best way to is to increase our intelligence. We have to increase our ability to decipher between what is, you know, reality and what is illusion. You know, you said that there's different ways of understanding, right? And just through hearing, if one acts, that's the highest level of, you know, intelligence, right? You hear it and you accept it and you do, right? And the second level of intelligence is that you hear it, but it doesn't sink in, and you have to go out and experience, like you mentioned with the bar of soap, you know, that it didn't make you happy, right? It's just an ordinary bar of soap. And then the lowest level of intelligence is that even though you hear, even though you experience, you still don't learn. Prabhupada gives the example of stealing, right? First class intelligence, it says you learn stealing is wrong. If you steal, you go to jail. Second class is he heard it, but he stole anyway. He went to jail, but he learned his lesson. He never stole again. And third class is he heard it, he stole, he went to jail, he got out of jail, and he stole again. And again was caught, right? Not learning. So in order to bring our intelligence up to the point where we can hear a thing, accept a thing, and act on it, we have this one important tool, and it's called the Maha Mantra. By chanting the holy name of the Lord, we can increase our intelligent quotient, right? Our IQ, our spiritual IQ can increase, right? So that we can actually accept the statements of Shastra and apply them in our lives, right? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram. Ram, Ram, Hare Hare. Is that okay? Yes? Mike? Pass the mic back.
Guruji? In Shastra, it is mentioned, first of all, it is said that the words of the Shastra, they have to be accepted as they are without any interpretation. And then, in various Puranas and in Upanishads, in Shastra, like Hari Bhakti Vilas, which has been written by Vaishnavas, it is mentioned that even if you do a small service which is favorable to developing devotional service, you get immense benefit. Like say for example in the month of Kartik, it is said that if we light a lamp in the temple of Lord, then it gives us immense benefit. And then if we have a tulsi stick in that lamp, the benefits are infinite, to the point that maybe we are liberated, we go back to Godhead. So these things are mentioned in the Shastras. So are these to be taken literally, that just once if we light a lamp in the temple of the Lord and have a tulsi stick inside, and that tulsi stick also glows, we'll be going back to Godhead in the next birth? Is it so? Literally, we need to accept the words of the Shastra as it is said often.
Well, you can't pick and choose what you want to accept.
You have to accept all the words of Shastra. You can't take a Tulsi stick, light it up and offer it, and then go out and do nonsense.
Yeah.
It also says in the Shastra, rise early in the morning, take a bath, come to Mangalartik, chant the holy name of Krishna, sit with devotees, worship the deities. All these things in a composite of the Shastra we should follow. Not that we can isolate one thing and say, I'm going to follow that and, you know, run around like a monkey. That we cannot do. So it is a, you know, it's a holistic approach to the Shastra. Therefore, it's very important to have an acharya that you can follow. Because the acharya, according to time, place, and circumstance, he gives a prescription for the disease of Kali Yuga affected conditioned souls so that they can follow that prescription, right? And make advancement and come to the goal of going back home, back to Godhead. If you want to try to read the Hari Bhakti Vilas on your own and figure out what you're going to do, what you're not going to do, you're going to become bewildered. But if you take the instructions of Srila Prabhupada seriously and follow his example of what he did in devotional life and try to inculcate that in your own life, then there's a good chance you'll be successful. Hare Krishna. Any other questions? You know, the Hari Bhakti Vilas is a wonderful scripture, but Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur says that it was edited by Gopal Bhatta Goswami. He was from a Brahmin family, and he wanted to use the vehicle of the Hari Bhakti Vilas to attract the smarter Brahmins to Krishna consciousness. So what's in the Hari Bhakti Vilas? It's all factual and it's all great, but we need to have it a guide through the Hari Bhakti Vilas, and that's Srila Prabhupada, and he's given us what we need out of it to follow so that we can, you know, make progress.
Krishna, Prabhuji, can you explain how three modes of material nature are controlling our activities? With some examples.
How the three modes of material. Well, did you ever buy a book? A Krishna conscious book? Right? From a devotee? Did you give a donation? You were influenced by the mode of goodness. Did you ever try really hard to pass an examination? Huh? You wanted to pass so that, you know, you get a good grade so your parents don't get on your case or you'll be able to go to the next grade. So you worked really hard to pass the exam. Did you ever do that? You were influenced by the mode of passion. You were controlled by the mode of passion.
Can we say it was my desire and my will to...
Desire is always there with the living entity. But your desires have become mixed up with the three modes of material nature in the conditioned state. Right? It's not that you eliminate desire in liberation. That desire is in relationship with the desire of the Lord. Your desire and the desire of the Lord become one. You want to please the Lord. And you want to know what pleases the Lord. So your desire is that. But when it becomes soured by coming in contact with the material nature, then you're under the control of the three modes. Sometimes goodness, sometimes passion, sometimes ignorance. Is that okay? Any other questions, comments? Okay, thank you very much. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Nitai Gaur Premanande.